Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
John Canzano. Raw. Sourced. Fresh. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, built by high-caliber millwrights, this is the Bald-Faced Truth.
Got a lot of Seahawks fans in this market. A lot of baseball fans as well. John Ryan, punter for the Seahawks, joining us. Where are you today, John Ryan?
I'm in Seattle. We've been back to work for a week now, so it's good to be back.
What's it like when you say, you know, you're back to work, you all show up, you see each other again? Is it like the first day of school when you're a kid?
It's pretty much exactly like that. You know, especially this has been a long off season, a lot longer off season than we've had in the decade that I've been here. So it was exciting to see everyone. And obviously, you know, if anyone's been following out there, we've made a number of changes. So seen a lot of new faces, and it's, you know, just good to be back.
I think it's really interesting every season to see how things come together in any sport, but it's football especially, where you have so many different people who are contributing. You have obviously got something cool going on with the Pickles, and I want to talk about that. But I got to ask you first, what was the coolest thing you did this off season?
I think probably go to Guadalajara for the Caribbean World Series was kind of the top point of my off season.
What's a crowd like at the Caribbean World Series?
It's incredible. You know, it's like very similar to a soccer crowd, a European soccer crowd, or Portland Timbers soccer crowd.
Yeah.
Very, very passionate fans. So it's it was definitely cool.
That's awesome. Is that something you always wanted to do, or is it kind of like, hey, I'm in Guadalajara and let's check this out?
No, I is kind of on the bucket list for sure. So I always go to the World Baseball Classic every 4 years and kind of fell in love with the international side of the game. And so when the opportunity came up to go to Mexico, go to Guadalajara, we jumped at it, and it was a lot of fun.
A lot of people know that John Ryan is an owner of the Portland Pickles. It's a wood bat summer league. They play their games in Lentz Park at Walker Stadium. What has it been like for you to be involved with them?
It's been an absolute blast. You know, it's kind of a dream type thing. You know, you always dream of owning a team, and being able to do so in the Pacific Northwest is kind of the cherry on top. But it's been a lot of fun, and you know, I just love going out to Portland too.
June 30th is a Saturday. It's John Ryan bobblehead giveaway. They're calling it Tackle John Ryan Night. Do people get to tackle you?
if you're under 11 years old, and you know, I mean, I think there should be a weight limit as well. But I think I'm about to check into that because I've seen some pretty big 11 year olds. But last year I wasn't taken to the ground. I was caught, but I wasn't taken to the ground. So hopefully I can keep that streak alive this year.
So what is that like in the seventh inning? They open the gates and you just run for it in the outfield, or what happens?
That's exactly what happens. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Oh, that is epic. Like, I'd like to see that extended to other things. Like, you know, the Blazers GM could be out in the outfield, and you know, you could rotate that cast. What was that like? When you saw the bobblehead, were you happy? Did it look like John Ryan?
I think it's pretty good. You know, I've seen some pretty bad bobbleheads through the years that look nothing like the guys, but mine's pretty good. I was pretty impressed with it.
Did your wife like it?
My wife does like it. She's already put in a large order for a number of them that she wants to give away for gifts, I guess, for years to come, I think.
I think it's interesting. I mean, I have a bunch of kids at my house. We've got kids, and I was covering the Blazers-Pelicans series, and I come home, and the kids run at the airport, and they jump into my arms. You've been married now, I think this will be 2 years this summer, is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, so how has life changed, or perspective, or your goals, or maybe what's important to you changed after being married?
I think you're able to put, you know, a game like football into perspective. You know, you kind of try to leave it all, you know, as I say, leave it at the office. You know, you don't try to take a bad game home with you. You know, it's I think that's kind of the biggest thing that I've taken from it. You know, doesn't mean I care any less about football or any of that, but I'm able to separate that from my personal life a little better than I was, you know, before meeting her.
Does it help that she's a comedian?
It definitely does. Yeah. Yeah, on those days when you're trying to shake it and trying to leave everything at the office, you kind of snap me back into a good mood with a couple of one-liners.
What is that like for you two to move in that circle? Because that's an entertainment world. When you're watching her perform or you're going to, you know, different shows or you're seeing her on Chelsea lately, what is that like for you?
It's been a blast. You know, it's been fun. You know, what her and I do is similar in a way, but it's so much different. You know, when I'm out on the road with football team, you know, we're, you know, traveling with, you know, 80 or 90 guys with coaches and everything. And her, when she's on the road for comedy, she's kind of just out there on her own. So it's a little bit different life, but I've had a lot of fun, you know, watching her. And, you know, she has a new TV show coming out on Netflix this summer that I'm pretty excited for everyone to see, too. And, you know, just it's been fun, and, you know, I'm just proud of her.
Now, her dad, I think her dad was a sports editor or a sports writer. Is that right?
He was, yeah, in all over, but mainly in Orange County. He covered the Angels and the Rams for a number of years.
She's got an interesting perspective, I guess, too, with the light. What did her mom do?
Her mom works at a morgue. She works at a funeral home.
That's going to open up some comedy material for her.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of well, she had a lot of material on myself and
yeah.
on her family as well. You know, she did not see the lighthearted side of a lot of things.
What's that like for you when she's riffing on you, or maybe she's having fun and the audience is kind of laughing at, you know, you or some things that you've done? Can you separate from that and go, hey, this is just all good material? Or is there any part of that when you get home where you're like, hey, man, that kind of, you know, that stung a little bit?
No, I take it fairly well. I think it's funny, and I'm not really one of those pipes to get, you know, embarrassed. So
yeah.
I can't really tell too many stories about me that would embarrass me. So I think it's all in good fun.
We're talking to John Ryan. He's the punter of the Seahawks. Again, coming up, Portland Pickles. Their promotions are all online at PortlandPicklesBaseball.com. You can see all the great promotions they have. But a big one on June 30th, Tackle John Ryan Night. It's a John Ryan bobblehead giveaway brought to you by Northside Ford. All right, so let's talk about this season. What is that going to be like for you guys? Where do you see the strengths of the Seahawks roster right now?
You know, I think it's going to kind of tell the story after the draft. You know, we have, you know, a kind of a light roster right now. I think, you know, see what happens in the draft, see what guys they add, and then we'll go from there. I know that John and Pete have always, you know, kind of had a vision of what the team is going to be, and, you know, sometimes on the outside or guys stepping back, you can't quite see what it's going to be. Like, I think a lot of people felt that way in, you know, 2011. We didn't quite see where things were going, and then, you know, it kind of took shape, and, you know, we started rolling. So I don't think this is necessarily – some people want to say a rebuilding year, and, you know, I'm definitely going to disagree with that. I think it's a bit of a reset, and, you know, I think it's going to be good.
Your coach, Pete Carroll, 66 years old, and by coach standards that today, that's an older coach. But he's got a lot of energy, doesn't he?
He has the most energy of anyone I've ever seen, I think. I think he has some untreated ADHD going on. And the guy's just bouncing off the walls, you know, 99% of the time. He's got so much energy, and it's infectious. You know, you guys love being around him.
There's been a lot of personality on this team over the years, and you see Richard Sherman go into the Niners and Michael Bennett over to the Eagles. What is it going to be like to not have those personalities in there with you, or what's it been like when you walk in and some of those familiar faces are gone?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, we kind of had a strong nucleus of guys here that have been here for, you know, some of the good glory days over the past 6 or 7 years. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be along for that ride. And then, you know, you see guys go that you've been, you know, working with for this amount of time. It sucks, to be honest with you, but it's part of the business, you know. And the longer you do it, the more guys you see come and go. And, you know, it's definitely hard to lose a teammate like we have this offseason, but you know, as I said, it's part of the business.
All right, so, you know, the news stories today, and then you guys are aware, I mean, Pete Carroll's talking about, hey, the door's still open for Colin Kaepernick. Is it a distraction, what has gone on in the league? Or is it like, hey, look, we're a team, we deal with whatever comes along, if a guy can play and help us? Or do you just leave all that stuff to management, coaching? How do you stand as a player when it comes to the Kaepernick issue?
You know, it's such a hard issue right now.
Yeah.
You know, I think that I had teammates last year that I don't want to say protested, but, you know, they showed they did what they did. And, you know, I'll always support my teammates. Myself, you know, I choose to stand for the national anthem. And I know guys have the reasons for not doing that. And I think, you know, I really don't think it's a distraction for the players, you know, unless you let it be. But, you know, when you're on the football field, you just, you know, just worried about football.
Yeah, and I got to think, like, when you got into this business, you didn't think, like, hey, I'm going to have a stance on the anthem. Like, this is just, this is a new thing.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I was just, I would just tell people that I'm Canadian. So it's such a tough issue. And it's kind of my way of ducking out of it is to just, you know, plead Canadian. So.
Yeah, and it's a business, right? And everybody who's in it says that. And, you know, you've got other things like the baseball team in Portland that you're interested in. What else do you want to do? What do you want to do when this career is over? Because you're going to retire a young man, and you're going to have a whole bunch of life to live.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's weird because I've been doing it for quite some time. You know, this will be my 15th season of pro football. And in this world of pro football, I'm an old man. And then, you know, you step out into the real world, you know, when you're retired at, you know, whatever it's going to be, late 30s, you're all of a sudden very young again. So there's a lot of life to live after this. And obviously I'm very invested in this baseball thing, the Portland Pickles. And, you know, definitely want to get more involved with that once I do retire. And, you know, I think there's a number of things that I want to do. I don't know if there's anything that's going to be huge. You know, I've always I left school a year and a half early to play pro football. So that's kind of something that's always been on the back of my mind, too, that I want to go back and do that. So I think there's a number of little things I want to do. But I think when it's done, it'll probably just be a couple years of relaxing before I get back into it too much.
All right. Hey, I appreciate your time, and I encourage people to tackle you on the 30th of June, and good luck to you this season. I think a lot of Seahawks fans are interested to see where this thing goes.
Thank you. Can I just add, PortlandPicklesBaseball.com, all our single-game tickets are on sale tomorrow morning, so you can get your tickets for the June 30th Tackle John Ryan night.
There's a lot of enthusiasm right now for baseball in this market. I think the Pickles can take advantage of that.
Definitely, definitely.
All right, John Ryan, good luck, man.
All right, thank you.
All right, there he is, punter with the Seahawks. I've seen the Hillsborough Hops, who also, by the way, I think are going to benefit from all of the enthusiasm around baseball. The Hops do a similar thing in the seventh inning. They let the bunny rabbit, who's some Yahoo intern probably, is dressed in a rabbit costume. And this person is let loose in the seventh inning into the outfield. And then they open the gates. And, like, hundreds of kids will chase this rabbit. I've not been to every Hillsborough Hops game, but I root against that damn rabbit every time. And I've seen it come really close to getting caught by kids. And I'm just curious what happens when a pack of kids who are chasing you catch you. Like, one day that rabbit's going to fall. Or John Ryan's going to fall in the outfield at that Pickles game. And you're going to have 200 kids dogpiling a rabbit, ripping its head off. That's going to be a dangerous situation. Major League Baseball to Portland. I'll tell you the latest next.
Save the drama for your mama.
Hey, Ma! We got some meatloaf!
We're here to play.
We want it now!
1029 and 750 The Game.
Where the pros play.
No doubt that the city of Portland is ready and thirsty and hungry for something else. Major League Baseball, yes, sign us up. NHL, sure, we're in. I think the Major League Soccer success that the Timbers have enjoyed and the Thorns have enjoyed in women's soccer were absolutely not accidental. And they serve as market research for a potential Major League Baseball to Portland move. The Portland Diamond Project has come forward with their ambition. They announced last week that they have an $80 million offer to buy a public piece of property at one of two potential sites. They want to build a 32,000-seat stadium. They want that project to have 8,000 apartments, and that is awesome. Stadium will cost about $600 million to build, $500 to $600 million to build. You're going to have to have a team. You're going to have a lot of fans who are interested in it. The difference for this group, though, are the names involved. You've got a former Nike vice president named Craig Cheek. You've got Mike Barrett involved in this. You have $80 million land offer. And you've got a group who's saying, look, we're going to recoup our own initial cost by developing this land. So it's a win. Right? But they got to build a stadium to do that, and then they got to get a team. And this group is playing it very close to the vest when it comes to whether or not they are going to be a relocation option or an expansion option. But a associate professor at Portland State named Jerry Mildner, who we should get on the show, is telling the Seattle Times that he doesn't think that Portland has the population or economic base to build a stadium and lure a team in. And he's saying the better option is for an owner to come in and privately build a stadium, which may be what's going on here. Look, the Mariners are also a little bit of a problem here, but I think it's one that can be overcome. They hold the TV rights in parts of the state of Oregon, especially here in Portland. And you have territorial rights that have become issues before. Remember, Orioles owner Peter Angelos tried to block the Expos going to Washington, D.C. over territorial rights, but Major League Baseball appeased him by giving him $75 million. And it made Angelos happy. He went away. Now, the Mariners basically have long griped that their travel schedule puts them at a competitive disadvantage. The Blazers do the same thing. And the Oregon Ducks do it when they talk about recruiting. They have to travel farther to recruit than other places in the Pac-12. But Major League Baseball gets Portland involved in this conversation because the municipalities in Oakland and in Tampa, where they want to build new ballparks, are not playing ball. Further, Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, says, look, we might expand to 32 teams anyway. Manfred's gone to Montreal about, you know, to talk to officials there about putting a team there. The Portland Diamond Group has confirmed to the Seattle Times that they have also met with Rob Manfred. So I think it's really interesting when, as people like the naysayers try to say, look, this would take an ownership group outside of market to bring a team in. I want to float one theory out there that I think you all should absorb, because I hear a lot of people going, well, they don't understand a team would be like a $1 billion thing. What if this isn't at all about buying a team and bringing them to Portland? What if this is about, maybe one of the theories is that an existing team that can't get a stadium built just moves to Portland? You don't have to buy a team in that scenario. And I keep hearing people say, well, they have to buy a team for $1 billion. What if they don't have to buy a team? What if a team willingly goes, you got a stadium, we're coming? What if Major League Baseball, which has put incredible amount of pressure on Oakland and Tampa and has not been able to get those cities to really do something, what if Major League Baseball has now turned to a market like Portland and said, it's your turn, it's your time? Because I kind of feel like the enthusiasm's here, and I think today, if they put out today season ticket deposits on that 32,000-seat stadium, I think 15 or 20,000 people would put down deposits in the Portland metropolitan area. I think it would be a smashing success to have a fan base immediately engaged going, yes, I'm in. I want seats. I know I would do it. I know a lot of other people have come up to me in the last week. I know that I was at the Blazers playoff games, and it was like everything that people were talking about. I know on Oregon Live, I can see the back end. I can see the traffic. The Blazers are in the playoffs. The Timbers are at home. There's the normal news of this city going on. And you know what was dominating the metrics and the analytics behind the scenes at Oregon Live? Major League Baseball to Portland was dominating. It was first, and it wasn't close, and it did the same thing at KGW, and it did the same thing at Coin, it did the same thing at Fox 12, and it's why it got so much coverage in the last week. Yeah, you're going to have to get some whale-sized checks to get written here. And yes, you can file this away as, yeah, this is just a bunch of people in Portland getting excited again. But you've got an ownership group that wants to buy up prime land to build a mostly privately funded sports venue with an adjacent mixed-use development, and we'll get the team later. Same thing went on in Seattle with Chris Hansen. He's still trying to get the Seattle City Council to sell him the property that he wants to buy. But he wants to, you know, renovate Key Arena, $600 million. And Portland is modeling, I think, its approach after what Hansen attempted to do in Seattle. But I think Portland has a little bit better angle here. I think the A's and what's happened in Oakland are a very real possibility to end up in Portland. And I don't think that that necessarily would require somebody buying the Oakland A's and moving them here. For the business sports people who are going, yeah, there's a cost of buying a team and there's no corporate sponsorships, I don't think that's the model anymore. It's all television rights. It's television rights and it's season ticket revenue. Sponsorships are important, but I think that they've been superseded dramatically by TV rights across sports. I think it's why a team like the Trailblazers with $150 million plus television deal, I think it's why they can compete. They've got a nice TV deal. So does everybody else. So I look at this Portland Diamond project, and I'm thinking, like, their fallback might be expansion, Rob Manfred, all that. But if you're somebody who is following this and you're watching the mayor of Portland, Ted Wheeler, he kind of came out lukewarm, and he said, yes, I can understand why Portland is a viable city that people would be interested in. I can understand why people would be excited about it, but we've got homelessness as a problem, and we've got affordable housing as a problem, and then people on the baseball side went, whoa, that's so short-sighted. Doesn't this solve your problem? No, I think Ted Wheeler's playing it exactly how he should. The mayor of Portland cannot fall all over himself and go, man, we really want baseball. Vera Katz tried that. The mayor of Portland has to play a measured role in which he says, we're a great city, we would love to have baseball, but we're not going to fall all over ourselves to get it. And then allow the Diamond Project to come in and solve some of the city's problems. See, that's a win-win. It takes no brains to make a deal that makes sense for only one side. You know what takes real brains? My dad taught me this in negotiation. You know what takes real brains? To come up with something that works for everyone. And I think this project can not only work to improve the profile of Portland as a sports city, I think it not only will sell out and be a monumental feather in the cap for the city, raise the profile, do what the Timbers have done, do what the Thorns have done. People get on me, they're like, oh, you don't talk enough about the Timbers and the Thorns. The Timbers sell out, 127 straight sellouts. The Thorns draw 18,000 a game. It's like the greatest sports story, women's sports story on the planet. So I'm looking over at baseball going, will this work? Yeah. Because I think the A's, which are currently averaging, I think, under 17,000 a game, and that number is going to go down. They were almost dead last in baseball in attendance last year. 1.5 million drawn. I think if the A's came to Portland, they would average mid-20,000 per game. In a 32,000-seat stadium, I think it would be a smashing success. I think that people would be like, why were we even worried about this in the first place? I think whoever moved here would be really happy. And I think ultimately, we're going to get baseball. I really do feel like this is it. I think it's our time. I think this is the right thing. But it raises other questions, and other questions have come up. And I want to hear from you on this. I want to hear from you on why you think this would work in Portland. And I want to hear from Timbers and Thorns fans, especially. I feel like you're taking this as, well, now people are criticizing me going, look, you haven't talked much about the Thorns. You haven't talked much about the Timbers. Do we do a disservice to soccer in this city as media? Not just me, but the media in general, the TV stations in Portland and in this state. Do we do a disservice to the soccer by not talking about it enough? I want to hear from you on that front, because when you sell out 127 times in a row, and you're expanding the stadium and you're going to sell that out too, the Timbers have a 14,000 long wait list. You know, it's a different animal than the Blazers. Blazers with 41 home dates, Timbers with like half of that. Major League Baseball would have 81 games, 81 home games. Is it too ambitious to think that that also would be a smashing success? Or would they have problems drawing on a regular basis? Do we give the Timbers and the Thorns enough credit in this market? I want to know that as well. Weigh in on all those things. It's your turn to have the floor. 503-417-7575. You're listening to the Bald Faced Truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.